Whoa, that was a quick one. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to 2021. Such a great year. Getting off to a great start. Can only imagine what it bodes for the future. But we do have one thing in our pocket, one little thing going for us, and that is Ida's return to the Damage Report. Ida Rodriguez, funny Ida herself, the truth serum purveyor. How's it going, Ida?
It's going well. How you doing?
You know, I'm trying to keep positive. Like, you know, things are dark. But there have been some good developments, you know, the Dems taking back the Senate, which was like a week ago, but like it seems like, wait, did that even happen? And if it happened, wasn't that 10 years ago? That actually just happened. So there's some good stuff. We'll see. It's still America, but how are you doing?
I'm doing well, the same, trying to stay, well, not trying, trying is lying. I'm actually intending to stay positive. And just believing in the process and just looking at all the things that Trump said he was gonna do that he did. He said he was gonna start draining the swamp, that you know, he said he was gonna make America great again. So the Democrats have control of the Senate and our president. So he did what he said he was gonna do. You know, and so I'm finding my joy daily.
Exactly. Yeah, you gotta work at it. Like, we have to fight, but we also have to remain human.
Yes.
Like, we have to power ourselves with a full, you know, pantheon of emotions. In any event, thank you to everybody who's watching today, regardless of where you are, the members, stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, wherever. Thank you for being here. Please hit the like button if you haven't already. If you'd like notifications going forward and you're on YouTube, apparently you gotta jump through some hoops, but please subscribe to the channel, ring the bell, click for all notifications. There's like a million different things you have to do, but if you do, you might know when we go live. And that's pretty nice. So, heads up also to our tier three YouTube members, we're gonna be doing our first live Q&A about 30 minutes after the show ends. So you can take part in that. And as we do this show, which is gonna involve a little bit of Trump's reactions to the impeachment, him turning on Giuliani, what the Defense Department knew about the possibility of political violence last week. We've got police bias of multiple forms. We got a lot that we're gonna be talking about. You can send us tweets and comments and things like that, and we will respond as we go. Before we jump into all of the news though, Ida, this is the first that we've talked in a little bit and a lot has been happening. So I would just like your overall reactions to what happened at the Capitol, Trump being impeached for a second time. Like, these are like momentous events and I wanna make sure that we, you know, we touch base with how you're processing all that.
Well, you know, it's very easy to demonize, and we don't have to demonize these people because their actions do that. But to sit here and talk about an expression of frustration and ignorance that is prevalent in this country. You and I have talked about how poor the education system is in this country and how much we take that for granted. We talk about a lot of the issues. FDR said that the greatest thing that preserves democracy is education. And we think about all of the things that are happening and we just see a manifestation of things that have been in the works for years. And so I am saddened by the fact that we have devolved into being this, you know, barbaric, but it is the inevitable, being that the capitalism in this country has become so toxic that the people on the ground have become casualties. And when I say that, I mean it figuratively, because we're, you know, we're poorly educated, we have a poor healthcare system. Mm-hmm. There's so many things against us. What I do believe is that I don't think Donald Trump, and I can't speak for him, I don't think Donald Trump thought that this kind of stuff would actually manifest itself, because he's so disconnected from his own base. I just think that he thought that it would always work in his favor. And if he just manipulated, he's the puppeteer, manipulated the people in the right way, they would just agitate enough where the things would benefit him. And now that this whole mess has unfolded, and now that he's seen that everybody is turning their backs on him, he is realizing that, you know, his little plan to cash out on the United States of America, which is what he's been doing, just didn't go the way that he thought it was. He created a cult. There are pastors crying online for Donald Trump, saying that Jesus ordained him to be president. They have been abused. So, you know, just like we can cry for the people from marginalized communities and in the way that they are black and brown, even though we don't have to extend an olive branch to these people, we should still pity the fact that so many of them are uneducated and misguided and manipulated, and they're in such bad conditions that they feel so desperate that this is the one place that they can turn. And it's just an indication of how this has been, how dumbing down America has manifested itself, and now America is turning on itself.
Yeah, that dumbing down, and like, it's not like we haven't had really dumb representatives. Like Louie Gohmert is a legitimate one of the dumbest people. If you meet him, he'll be one of the dumbest people you ever met. I feel like the new class coming in, these are some legitimate, like, I don't know which is more worrisome, that they don't know anything or that they are crazy. Like, those are two different things. Maybe they're connected, but I'm a little bit worried about some of those and the possibility that they might have, there's talks about that maybe they coordinated in some way with those who are attacking and everything. Like when I watch like AOC's video about the experience, when I see that Ayanna Pressley, her husband now has COVID. Ayanna Pressley is, I believe, immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. Like the constant threat to their lives, the people who are like, they're the thin shield between us and all of these other politicians that don't give a damn what happens to us, that they have to constantly be worried about dying, being infected with these illnesses, literally threatened by their own colleagues. It's been a tough period. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, glad to touch base with you on that. Why don't we jump into our prepared news? There's a lot here, so everybody hold on to your butts. We're gonna do this thing. Yesterday, after the damage report ended, Trump did indeed get impeached for the second time. It did happen. It was the most bipartisan impeachment in the history of the United States. 10 Republicans signing on, which is good. 95% of them didn't, which is bad. So, you know, you take your good with your bad. While all that was going on, though, we're now getting a little bit of information about how Trump has been processing all this, both the impeachment that happened, who defended him, who didn't, and also the lingering conversations about his culpability with the violence that happened just a little bit more than a week ago. And so yesterday, again, after the show, he released a video condemning violence. We're going to show you a small portion of that here.
I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America Great Again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement. You're attacking it, and you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it.
Okay, so no, Making America Great Again was always about blah, blah, nonviolent stuff. Anyone, no true supporter of his could ever endorse violence. Ida, what'd you think?
Ooh, I think Malcolm X was the one who said the chickens always come home to roost. I think that, you know, it's interesting to watch this because it's done, buddy, it's done. These people are so far gone at this point. There's a mass hysteria upon us. So that's not gonna resonate with them. That's not gonna resonate with them. And now that all of this damage is done and you realize the stain that you are on this country and its history, you know, it's appalling to hear that at this point because you have endorsed violence against Hillary Clinton, Ilhan Omar. You know, it's just been constant. So I would be pissed if I was his people, his base. I would be like, "Oh yeah, now you want to back out on us?" That's how I feel. I would be like, really? That's what we doing? Now you're trying to back away from us? You have constantly been, you know, you've been blowing this whistle for years now. And you've been calling on violence since you asked for the murders of the young men of the Exonerated Five. You've been asking for violence since then and possibly before. And now you want to say you want to back away from it? I think it's cowardly and it's disgraceful at this point.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Yeah, it's just, like if he, like I said on the Young Turks yesterday, if he had been saying stuff like this from day one,
yep,
good. But like at a certain point, it seems more like you're covering your ass. And it doesn't mean that it's not in some way good, him releasing the video like that, even though it lies about what MAGA is and everything. Like there's a lot of lies, but you know, it's Trump. What can we expect? Is better than him not releasing it, maybe. And it's better than him continuing to call for violence, but it's way, way, way too late. On another level, we know that he doesn't actually believe it. So I guess he gets some credit in theory if it stops some of his followers from continuing to be violent. But I doubt that it can because of all of his past comments. I think that Ida's 100% right about that. And importantly, we can also note that the video is 5 minutes long. You can go watch that. I don't know why you would, but I want to spoil a bit of it for you. The president offered no note of humility, regret, or self-reflection about his 2 months of false claims that the election was stolen from him. He didn't mention Joe Biden. He didn't concede the election, and he didn't talk about Mr. Biden's inauguration. So, like, yes, he said, don't be violent. But if you went into watching that video thinking that this was the greatest theft of a landslide victory ever, you leave it thinking, well, the president didn't give me any reason to believe that's not still true. Like, okay, maybe he's saying don't be violent, but many of them will be able to tell themselves, well, he sort of has to say that, or it was just a deep fake, it wasn't really him. But he's not saying that he lost, he's not conceding, he's not saying Joe Biden will be president. It's still irresponsible.
And you know what it is that when we think of MAGA, it's synonymous with the immigrants are coming to take us. We got to build the wall. It's synonymous with lock her up. There was a call to bring violence towards Hillary Clinton. I forgot what that was. There's been so many that we can't even keep up with them anymore.
That's true.
And so it's you know, making America great again has been a statement that is with the sentiment that it comes at the expense of, you know, look how bad they politicized Black Lives Matter. They conflate the ideology with the organization. They've turned it into something that, you know, I just laugh because I think about and I know I'm switching thoughts here, but it just makes me mad because they were coming for the politicians that at the end of the day are fighting for the things that would benefit them. And healthcare, you know what I mean? Like caring about the climate change that we continue to ignore that will also rear its ugly head on us. So it's just interesting when we think about making America great again and we think about all of the things that have been said under the banner of that, they've always been, excluding others, pushing other people who are different than white America out. He has promised to, you know, middle class America that he was not going to let low income renters come into their neighborhoods, you know, which means poor people and marginalized people.
Yep. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a marketing campaign that he's been running for quite some time. So, you know, now that you want to back away from it, like I said, Donald Trump is an elitist and he would never even associate with any of those people. He told them he was going to walk with them and then he disappeared. And then you see a party of them celebrating and but they're in a safe bunker away from them because they're probably scared of those people too. So
I would be.
I mean, that they are a result of those are Americans. That's what America looks like. And when we're talking about those, you know, countries, this is what America looks like. And the world is now scoffing at us because we have had this. We are the girl prom queen of the world for so long. And now they're like, looking at the prom queen. It doesn't look as hot as we thought it did.
That is certainly true. Yeah, it's on a level. It's kind of funny. He's like, and I'm gonna be with you, and then he just goes home and watches TV and like eats popcorn. Like, what? That's weird. Yeah, and I had forgotten about the I'll save the suburbs. We want to stop those low income people from coming in. Like, wait, I thought that was the base you were pretending you had. Isn't that it? It's not racism. It's just that they've been left behind economically. Oh wait, no, you're demonizing those who've been left behind economically. Well, then I guess that leaves the racism. Yeah, I had forgotten about that. Now. Oh, sorry, were you gonna say something?
No, that's his thing. So those people that are out there, I mean, I know there was an Olympic swimmer, there were people out there that were not all poor, because you know, everybody was like, these are hillbillies and rednecks, which I think is a disservice to some people who are from the South who are not like that, because you know, that's just making generalizations about people and all it's ignorant no matter which way it swings. But you know, the truth of it is that it's a great indicator of there were a lot of people out there that probably come from those low income neighborhoods that are undesirable to those middle class moms that he was talking to. And they don't, the sad part about it is that they don't have the education nor the wherewithal to know the difference.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn from last Wednesday to this Wednesday. As the impeachment process was going on, Trump was responding, not on Twitter, thankfully. That's a recent development, but we are getting some information from behind the scenes of what he was thinking. Apparently, and this is amazing, advisors said that Mr. Trump had to be dissuaded from going to the House floor to try to defend himself during Wednesday's impeachment proceedings, something he wanted to do during his first impeachment in December 2019. Can you imagine Trump like storming onto the House floor and ranting at them? I kind of wish he had. Like, that would have been entertaining at the very least.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ida. What do you think? Would that have helped him? Would it have scared some of those 10 Republicans, maybe?
The problem is that these guys all saw A Few Good Men. And they can't wait to get off their Jack Nicholson monologue. It's just a great indicator of how bad a politician Donald Trump has been. And not that being a politician is a good thing, but a politician poorly prepared he was for political office and understanding the process, how much he really doesn't understand what our political process is. And that is why he appeals to the people who don't, who probably never learned civics, who haven't had great history lessons and don't understand how all of this works. So I just think that that's the thing, is these guys want to get that Jack Nicholson moment where he says, I wake up at the dawn and I protect your and I show up and protect you, and how dare you question the manner in which I protect it, which was wrong. He was wrong.
Yep.
And they all want that moment.
Yeah, people in the Twitch chat, one's like, I can't handle the truth. Like, that would definitely be true. I wake up at the crack of dawn to watch Fox and Friends, and you dare question me?
Yeah.
That's basically, he could have had his moment. It would have been great. So, but that's not all. during the day, he periodically watched the impeachment debate in the House and told advisors he was furious with Mitch McConnell and felt blindsided by him. Yet his deeper anger was at the House Minority Leader, Representative Kevin McCarthy of California, for publicly condemning him. As he watched the impeachment quickly gain steam, he was upset that generally that virtually nobody was defending him, including Kayleigh McEnany, senior advisor and notable son-in-law Jared Kushner, Larry Kudlow, Robert C. Bryan, Mark Meadows, like basically everyone. And again, these are his last like core defenders. These are the people who stuck with him through everything. And because they can't stop the inevitable outcome of all of what he's done from happening, the second impeachment, he's turning on them. And he still thinks, like, go on. It's amazing that like those are the only people you've got, dude, and you hate them more than anyone right now.
I was laughing. I was waiting for you to finish because I was laughing. I have a song in my head called "The Sycophant Gang." but I think that you know what's funny is I am one of those people that believes in observing the character of a human being. And all we've been seeing is people's characters being revealed, right? Because the great indicator of who someone is their behavior towards you when you can't do anything for them. But it just shows how many people really thought that there would be great benefit in riding with Donald Trump and were willing to compromise all of their integrity, their principles and values, democracy, what matters to America at the end of the day in terms of what America supposedly holds as its values. And to see Kayleigh show up with no makeup on, looking like she had just had the beatdown of a century, was just like, you could just see it wearing down on them because they really thought they were gonna get away with it. They watched The Handmaid's Tale. They thought they were gonna get away with it. And this revealing of we have so much government, so many people involved in it, the system of checks and balances, we have so many components. How dumb were they, the really narrow-minded, that they really thought they were gonna mobilize a mob and take over the country? And that just indicates how dumb some of the people in his camp really are.
Well, I want to turn to one last angle that both involves one person in his camp who's very dumb, someone who tried to mobilize that mob, and another person who's being turned on at the last moment. It's the perfect nexus of all of Ida's points in this next section. If you are a defender of Donald Trump at this point, I cannot believe that you would not understand the one rule, the one, I would say, physical constant of the universe, which is he will demand your loyalty, and in the end, he will not pay you back for it. You get paid back, but not for the loyalty. And no matter how loyal you were, you're gonna get thrown under the bus. And so we've got one more person being thrown under that speeding automobile. Donald Trump is apparently angry at Rudy Giuliani because Rudy Giuliani wasn't able to overturn the election. The president was offended by Mr. Giuliani's request for $20,000 a day to represent him in the election fight, which Mr. Giuliani has denied making, but which was in writing apparently, and told aides now not to pay him at all for those 2+ months of defending him in courts around the country. And I will say, $20,000 a day seems like a lot for a lawyer. But with Giuliani, you weren't just getting his legal services after a year of, you know, public service and being a lawyer. You were also getting his constant daily public debasement. This guy melted on camera. He did a press conference in front of a hardware store. Like, this guy humiliated himself on a daily basis. And that wasn't enough for Trump, Ida. Like, being willing to do all of that, to fart on video, to just spout nonsense conspiracy theories, whatever Trump wanted to hear, Giuliani spent more than 2 months doing that. And now he's maybe not gonna get paid. White House officials have started blocking his calls to the president. And because he spoke Wednesday morning, he's now facing recriminations of his involvement in inciting the mob that assaulted the Capitol, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But it did seem like Giuliani might be one of those who would evade that pattern of being loyal to the president and eventually being discarded, but it seems to be going on as we speak.
So I don't know why anyone would think that he wouldn't turn on Giuliani. They are all disposable to him. They are only there to serve the purpose of getting him what he wants. And that's the thing that I marvel at, is that you see this person, you watch his track record, you see everybody that he's discarded who was no longer of service to him throughout his whole presidency. But you think you're the one? You think you think you're the Beyonce and this Destiny's Child? Really? It's just so funny to me that Giuliani thought, you know, first of all, to watch Giuliani lose all of his dignity throughout this experience has to be a turnoff to even Donald Trump, right? Because why would he want to roll? You know what I'm saying? Why would he want to roll with somebody that everyone is perceiving as a loser? You know, just to watch him, Geraldo Rivera is another person that I've watched just compromise dignity throughout this whole thing. And he jumped off the ship. So before he got off, he jumped off. But Giuliani to me is just, you know, first of all, after the Borat thing, just to watch him, just, you know, he has no kind of integrity. Like he's just gross out here, not just for the check, but to be relevant and probably just to be in the mix. But of course he's gonna turn on Giuliani. And anybody, listen, if you're not one of those kids, if you are not close to the vest to Donald Trump is a gangster. That's who he is. The only people that matter to him are family. And even members of family can be disposable if they are not gonna service the cause. Why does anybody think that he's not operating by the rules? He's operating by the rules that gangsters operate from. Even gangsters may be embarrassed of him because they still have a code.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's at the very least, he is operating in regards to people like Giuliani the way he always has. They've watched, like all of them, there's like a wheel of misery that gets spun and one of them, you know, gets attacked. And all of the rest who didn't laugh and say, "Hi, you idiot."
Yeah.
Not knowing that, like, dude, it's gonna keep spinning. Eventually, it's gonna land on you. He hates Kayleigh McEnany now. Kayleigh McEnany she probably hasn't permanently damaged her reputation just because there's nothing DC likes more than rehabilitating terrible people like her. But she certainly has tried. Anyway, yeah. Giuliani, and one last bit of embarrassment. So you might recall, Wednesday morning, he called for trial by combat. I took up that challenge, but he hasn't called me yet. So I guess it's not gonna happen at this point. But anyway, he said yesterday or 2 days ago that it was just a Game of Thrones reference when he told them that. He says, quote, "I was referencing the kind of trial that took place for Tyrion in that very famous documentary about fictitious medieval England," which I guess is a joke, sort of. Anyway, when Tyrion, who is a very small man, is accused of murder, he didn't commit murder. He can't defend himself and he hires a champion to defend him. Okay, so you were making a reference to another depiction of trial by combat. That's not different than trial by combat. That was a trial by combat. So I don't understand how that's supposed to protect you from calls that you were telling people to engage in trial by combat that morning. And then they went and they beat a cop to death. I guess it's funny, but it's not really defense at this point.
No, and if he expects us to believe that he actually watched Game of Thrones, that's the greater offense, that whoever wrote that for him or advised him to say that or whatever, that is an epic fail, that we believe that he had the attention span to watch Game of Thrones to even get in deep enough to that episode and to that part of the series. We don't believe it. So whoever thought that it was cool or strategic or slick to say that failed, which is just, you know, like it's just an indicator of the whole circus. It's the whole circus, not just the people you see, but the people behind the scenes, the advisors. The whole thing is just a dog and pony show. And I keep quoting Malcolm X because Malcolm X is my favorite. But I just sit here and I think about the call to action for violence is because they never thought that they're not gonna be affected by it. And quite honestly, I think they were just that desperate enough to call for violence to the people that oppose their goal, not oppose their principles and their values or what they really stand for, but oppose the goals that they have to capitalize and continue to make money off of the suffering and the struggle of the American people. And they wanted to get rid of anybody who stood in the way of that. And that is what indicates how horrible these human beings are. And anybody who was complicit in that, who stood around and amended, they are all responsible and they all have blood on their hands. They scream Blue Lives Matter, and that man that got beat with an extinguisher didn't matter in that moment. And it's just horrible how these people have been driven into a state of believing that this is okay. And we minimize it, but that's how it happened in Germany. And that's how it happened, you know, in America with slavery. And that is how it always happens. And then here we go. Nah.
I've missed you. Also, I agree. I don't think he actually watches it. But if he did get to that part of the show, that was like one of my favorite moments.
Me too.
It was a good time. As last Wednesday's violence was going on in the immediate aftermath, a lot of regular Americans were left wondering how could security have been so unprepared for all of this. And the initial response from those in charge was, well, we had no reason to believe that anything bad was gonna happen. Now, we're gonna give you a whole bunch of information about why that was crazy. Let's just admit, on its face, that's a crazy thing to say. I mean, Ida, like for months they've been building up to this. It's been advertised, it has that viral hashtag. We knew the event was gonna happen. I don't think anyone gets to claim that they were surprised that a lot of people showed up or that it turned violent. We have been building towards this for at least 4 years now. And so I find those initial like claims to ignorance to be on their face invalid.
Oh, 100%. First of all, I'll go back before that. We've been waiting, we stay waiting for terroristic attacks since 9/11. Right? Since 2001, we're always on guard about some terroristic act that brown people from the Middle East and ISIS and all of this. So we stay on guard. So you're supposed to be prepared for any type of anything to go down in any of these Capitol buildings since simply because of the hashtag never forget. So now you're gonna tell me that you didn't think this was gonna happen, but aren't you supposed to be prepared for anything to happen, being that we're constantly being reminded that the brown people are coming to get us? It's just, that's whack. Come on out here, get out of here with that. That's foolishness.
Yeah, they were better prepared for some people playing guitar a few months back than they were for this. But let's run through it. And the information we're gonna be providing for you is from none other than Kenneth Klippenstein himself. Now The Intercept. So a reminder, the day after the Capitol unrest, the Defense Department insisted, quote, we don't do domestic intelligence collection. We rely on Capitol Police and federal law enforcement to provide an assessment of the situation. And based on that assessment that they had, they believe they had sufficient personnel and did not make a request. The Defense Department has been criticized for not sending the National Guard in time to prevent the attack. Then US Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund, who has since moved on, has said that he requested assistance 6 times from the National Guard, but each request was delayed or denied. Though Washington DC Mayor Muriel Bowser had requested and received 340 National Guard members, the troops were unarmed and tasked with managing traffic rather than conducting law enforcement functions. So there's a lot of people who are saying, we had no reason to believe anything was gonna happen, or we did, but someone else wouldn't help us. There's a lot of that that's going on. Here's the issue. Ken Klippenstein brings receipts, and they've been leaked to him by people in the Department of Defense. The US military had its own intelligence that anticipated election-related unrest from individuals who viewed the presidential election as fraudulent, the same individuals who stormed the Capitol, according to an internal Defense Department intelligence assessment obtained exclusively by The Intercept. The report, an all-hazards threat assessment produced by the US Navy, is dated back to late December. It's marked a controlled unclassified information, designated FedCon, meaning that it's authorized for distribution to federal officials. And so it talks about threats relevant to a Navy installation. It also makes frequent reference to the Capitol specifically, as well as the National Capital Region, which encompasses Washington DC. And I wanna read just a quick section from it. While the presidential election is finished, a large segment of the population views the results as invalid or fraudulent. Conspiracy theories amplified by social media echo chambers are likely to both increase the potential for civil disturbance activity and intensify the level of civil disturbance activity as well. It makes specific mention of QAnon, the pro-Trump conspiracy theory whose adherents make up a large part of the Capitol mob, and which, let's remember, Trump said they're just people who love Trump and they love America and they love kids. They're good people. That's all I know. And they say that the resulting aftermath of the presidential election has contributed to an environment where civil disturbance activity is almost certain to continue to persist. There are multiple ways that it could play out, such as large-scale protests that escalate to riots, looting, or criminal activity. So I don't know how much more specific they could be. They knew that the Capitol could be a target, that the DC could be one of the areas, and why wouldn't they? It's about the presidential election. And they had been broadcasting for months that they were going to try to challenge it on January 6th. We talked about it in show after show after show. And so now the cries of ignorance, it just seems like covering their ass.
Yeah, you know, I just think it's very interesting. Just imagine if we were talking about Black Lives Matter, if there had been strings of and threads on online about how Black Lives Matter was going to show up at the Capitol. I mean, we saw white women losing their eye, their vision because of Black Lives Matter protests, because of the way that law enforcement treated them. They were willing to sacrifice the salt of the earth, the white woman, in order to shut Black Lives Matter down. So when we hear this, you know they were asking for it. The mayor asked for it. They kept ignoring her. They kept, you know, The Wire. Here we are, an episode of The Wire. You're watching the bureaucracy, the way it all works, the way it trickles down, the fall guy, and all of that stuff happens. But at the end of the day, we know that white supremacy infiltrates everything, including law enforcement and the military. So why do we act like it doesn't? So why? Because this is an inside job. And those people who are very active in all of this that believe that Donald Trump should be the president and don't want them Joe Biden to be in office, that were also subscribing to this, you know, all of this stuff that's been said and that has been put into action, were participating in this. And if we act like we don't see that, then we definitely just expect the American people to be stupid and really believe that they are, because we all know that everybody knew that this was going to happen. Those of us who are not getting the emails and are not tapped into the wire. So you're going to tell me you don't know, but I do? Stop it. I mean, it's a constant insulting of the American people. And it just happens on a daily basis. Media is out of control. Our government is out of control. Yep. And now the people are out of control. And that's what happens when you just keep doing this to human beings and you think they're not going to react.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I know some people are going to be like, well, at some point we gotta move on. Biden's got to do stuff. Yeah. Biden's got to do tons of stuff. And we're going to do that, but I think we can do both. I think we can press Biden. Hopefully he can do quite a bit, both in terms of legislation, nominations, but also executive orders. And at the same time, maybe we can find out what they actually knew, why the prep was so inadequate for the 6th, what some members of Congress might have done, why panic buttons were being ripped out. There's a lot of stuff that I think simultaneously we can be investigating. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on to little consequence of this, because of the violence back last Wednesday, some new security measures inside of the Capitol have at least temporarily been set up, including metal detectors for some of the entrances to the Capitol. And so those were announced by the acting House Sergeant at Arms, Timothy Blodgett, in a memo to both lawmakers and staff, people who are gonna have to be going through it. They said to ensure compliance with Capitol Police Board regulations concerning firearms and incendiary devices, as well as to provide a safe and secure environment in which to conduct legislative business, effective immediately, all persons, including members of Congress, are required to undergo security screening when entering the House chamber. And remember that 1 week prior, multiple people had been killed, including with guns, in that building. But Republicans, including Republicans that love to talk about how much they love cops and law enforcement and all of that, were not having it. New Representative Lauren Boebert, who has pushed for carrying a gun in the Capitol, was seen by reporters Tuesday night setting off a metal detector and declining to turn over her bag to the police for inspection. Another House Republican, Representative Steve Womack, shouted at police to get back and don't touch me. suddenly realizing that sometimes cops can be too handsy. And so they weren't abiding by it, Ida. But now Pelosi is going to try to get them to with new fines for those who bypass security, whether going around it or running through it and then stopping the cops from stopping them. And apparently the cops were just letting them do that, which seems so weird, but I get it. They're very powerful people. They can get them fired and all that. It's gonna be $5,000 for the first offense, $10,000 for the second offense, and the fines will be automatically deducted from lawmakers' salaries. They won't come from campaign funds or anything like that. So Ida, this seems like it might get them to comply with it.
You know, I just think they're citizens of the United States. What are the consequences for the average citizen when they don't follow those rules? I think they shouldn't be exempt from the rules, because what happens is that, you know, it's interesting to me. These people are, yeah, they're so pro law enforcement until law enforcement is in direct opposition with what they want. But they think that they're above the law and they should be held accountable, like, for the danger that they bring for their fellow Americans who are also in that building. And I mean from the guns to COVID, because those lawmakers that didn't want to wear their masks, you know, you see these people that are coming undone when they get in trouble because they don't want to wear their mask. They are following the lead of these lawmakers, right? These are the people that are encouraging that behavior, but they don't have any consequences. So they should. They should all get in trouble, and it shouldn't be NBA fine. It should be, they should go to jail for a day. They should have to really feel what it feels like to be an American citizen, because at the end of the day, that's all they are. And I just think that they've been getting away with so much for so long. I'm tired. I think they should get in trouble. I think they should get in real trouble.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny to watch over just a period of like 1 week. Like, you have the Blue Lives Matter crowd who kills a cop. Like, some of them holding Blue Lives Matter like paraphernalia flags and stuff like that, and they're like trying to kill a cop, injuring tons of them. Some of these representatives who love to let me show you this tweet. As Representative Steve Womack, and I love that our producer found this. Today is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. To every man and woman who wears the badge, thank you for standing watch over our communities and keeping families in Arkansas and across the US safe and secure. We salute your courage and unyielding service. God bless our officers. Steve Womack is the guy that we just said was shouting at police, "Get back, don't touch me." Like, that's the same guy. We stand with you, steadfast vigilance. Get off of me. Like, no, that's for those people. You're supposed to be vigilant over them. Leave me alone. That's always the way it goes. And bear in mind, this is like the police in this particular case would probably like to, at least in the near future, be a little bit at risk, less at risk in that particular building of being injured or killed. More than 50 other police, Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police officers were injured during that attack. Several had to be hospitalized. One is apparently going to lose an eye. Rioters tried to shoot another officer with his own gun. And look, obviously you can go way too far with over policing. We talk about that all the time. In this particular building, it just happened last week, and there are very real concerns that it could happen any day now in advance of the inauguration. And the cops would probably prefer that you don't have a lot of wacko QAnon supporting Congress people running around with guns at that point. So look, if they're doing insane measures forever and all of that, we will be the first people who will be critical of that. It seems like at this point for right now, it doesn't seem like it's overly trampling on the rights of these insane people who love to pretend that they support cops every other day.
It's also insulting to us who are black and brown to know that if that would have been us, it would have played out very differently. And we all know that they would have shot first and then asked questions later, because that is what they do. They would have pulled out the gas, the tear gas. They would have been shooting the rubber bullets. They would have been beating the people like they've always done in history, because that's so America. But you know, it's just very interesting to hear these, to see that this is happening in the Capitol, but it happens every day. The truth is that police officers in America are considered blue collar workers. Yo, these people are elite. They got paid through this whole pandemic to decide if we deserve a couple of peanuts. And listen, what a privilege must it be to be able to afford in this moment in time to pay to spend $5,000 or $10,000 for not wanting to go through a metal detector while the American people are losing their businesses. They have no jobs. They are struggling fighting this pandemic. The hospitals are overrun. People don't have proper health care. We are struggling as a country. And these people have the luxury to afford a $5,000 fine because they're having a hissy fit for not going through a metal detector. When people who look like me and are darker and black have to walk through metal detectors to go to school. So it's just, it is appalling. It is appalling. And we are tired.
Capitol Police were incredibly unprepared for what happened last Wednesday. And there's a lot of reasons for that, some of which are being investigated now. But there's one that I think is worth discussing, and it's the apparently decades-long issues with incredibly systematic racism inside of Capitol Police. There's a great write-up right now on ProPublica talking with some long members of Capitol Police about their efforts to get that to be reformed. So we're only going to give you a little bit. You can definitely go to ProPublica and read a lot more of the quotes from people who served in the force, the things that they saw. But to give you an idea of it, since 2001, hundreds of black officers had sued the department for racial discrimination. They alleged that white officers called black colleagues slurs like the N-word, and that one officer found a hangman's noose on his locker. White officers were called huck lovers or FOGs, short for friends of gangsters, if they were friendly with their black colleagues. Black officers faced unprovoked traffic stops from fellow Capitol Police officers. One black officer claimed he heard a colleague say, "Obama monkey, go back to Africa." And so we're going to talk about a little bit more of the efforts of some of these police officers to do something about that. But this is the sort of thing that we've heard from police departments around the country. I know that some people are like shocked, and they're shocked, by the way, to find out that there had been cops from around the country participating in the protests, the attacks that killed cops there. But there have been at least 28 that have been identified. Some are on suspension. Some have lost their jobs from all over the country. One was just identified from Houston. This is like, how long have we been talking about this? That like both the military and police departments have a massive problem with racist, white supremacist, like literal neo-Nazis and others infiltrating their ranks.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's so funny when we have these conversations because the police is an organization that was in place during slavery, after slavery, during Jim Crow. So when we talk about organizations that were founded, whose values and principles are founded in racist views, the fact that we've never done anything to rectify that, that we've never addressed it, we just carry on and transition and think that the values are going to become, they're going to disappear. And if racism doesn't disappear in any of the systems that have been set up on its foundation, why would we think that law enforcement would be an exception? So I'm not surprised. We've been talking about this for how long? You know, we've been, and we up to date. I mean, we just go look up who got killed this week. A pastor got killed, shot in the chest in his lawn, unarmed, what, 2 days ago? This has been going on forever. And until we really, there's a reckoning and we do the real work to really address this, it's never gonna go away. And it's gonna take white people to dismantle it, right? To put the onus, first of all, you blame black people and brown people for their own oppression. And then you charge them with the task to get rid of oppression and systemic oppression and racism. It's gonna take white people to do this. And I think this is what's happening now when white people realize that racism and systemic oppression affects them as well, because it's a system that's been set up to have us, you know, fight each other based on these constructs that hold us all down. And now that they're feeling the pressure of that foot on their neck, now that they're pushing back and saying, wait a minute now, you saw the protesters saying, you're treating me like a black person. Cops even said that because we know it. The lady in Central Park knew it when she told the black man, don't make me call the police. But that it is part of what we know and we don't acknowledge or admit to know because it is embarrassing, it is shameful, and it is beneficial to some of us. And that is why nobody wants to call it out. But now we are seeing the ghost in the mansion that Scooby and Shaggy have been telling us about. And now we wanna, now what are we gonna do about the ghost? Or are we gonna end this episode and start a new one? Because this has been going on forever. And quite honestly, black and brown people just stood back and watched. We're not surprised. This is par for the course. This is the American way. When Americans don't get what they want, you know, they do whatever they need to do. Revolution is what this country was founded on. You know, massacre is what this country was founded on. Those are the principles of this country, whether we want to admit it or not. Now, are we a great country? Do we have a great opportunities here that are not afforded elsewhere? And do we have the we're not a great country, but we have the potential to be a great country. Mm-hmm. And we just got to live in the truth. And we have to stop lying in America about what America is. And it's so much easier to say, you're trying to turn this into a communist country. You're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. Let's just focus within and really focus on the issues that we have, because we don't look that sexy to the rest of the world like we like to think that we do.
Yeah. It's funny because you made a million good points there. The chat is entirely people saying jinkies, rut-row, things like that because of your Scooby-Doo reference. But you're 100% right. The reform needs to happen. You know, like if only there had been the biggest social movement of our lives trying to get people to understand what's going on in police departments around the world. If only that had happened. Why wasn't anyone talking about this? But like literally, like we transitioned from a year of that to, hey, wait, the cops seem a little bit biased. It's like we were talking about before the show. It is hopefully becoming harder for people to maintain the convenient illusions that they have, that their worldview is sort of propped up with. Anyway, there's a lot more information about the history of the Capitol Police that's available right now at ProPublica, probably still on their front page if you'd like to get that. And we will continue to talk about this because this is not something that is, again, like so much else about the last couple of weeks, about the last 4 years. This doesn't go away just because Trump goes away.
That's right.
Anyway, you had said, you know, do we just stop this episode and start a new one? We unfortunately do have to stop this episode of the Damage Report, but hopefully it will continue. Ida, as always, it's great to have you on. Where can people follow your work?
So I just want to share next week, starting on the 15th through the 29th, I will be on Sirius XM doing a 2-hour radio special from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time. I will be on channel 126 Urban View, and it will be a show where we are going to be sharing progressive views and different people of color who have these progressive views. We're going to talk about climate change, but it'll be a 2-week special where I'm just doing 2 weeks there. And I just want to share some of the voices and some of the people who talk about the things that are important to us. You can find me on FunnyAIDA on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook, you know, Ida.Rodriguez.
Is that that's daily for 2 weeks?
Daily for 2 weeks, yeah.
That's exciting. I didn't know about that. That's really cool. Can't wait.
Thanks.
Awesome. And everyone go, like she said, follow on social media as well. Ida, as always, thank you so much. Stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.